Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. Today's episode will be enormously valuable to a lot of people, especially a lot of people that find it financially challenging to approach a divorce with all the costs associated to filing and getting legal advice. We have here a wonderful, well-respected woman, Anna Story, executive director with the formal name of Levitt and Quinn Family Law Center Incorporated, a private nonprofit law firm, but commonly known as Levitt Quinn. And I am sure many of you listening have heard the name Levitt Quinn. So, Anna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Judy, so much for having me.
Pleasure. So, Anna, let's get right to it, because a lot of people need your services. When and why was Levitt Quinn created?
Levitt Quinn was founded in 1981 as a result, in response to a funding crisis that was occurring at the national level. Pioneering retired lawyers who were volunteering their services saw a need to fill a gap and were really concerned that these budget cuts at the national level were going to wipe out family law services for poor and very low-income people. And so they rose to the occasion and founded Levitt Quinn in 1981 to make sure that those people did not fall through the cracks and got the help that they needed to address their family law problems.
And don't we need that now?
Absolutely.
We're talking in pandemic times, so we absolutely need that now. But there was one aspect I thought you had mentioned before. Was this, and if you said it, I'm sorry, I missed it, pioneering the efforts of female lawyers?
So our founders, all women, trailblazers in, Ethel Levitt was a part of a group of women who founded the first all-female owned law firm in Los Angeles. So these were women who retired, but were not content to sit back and took on the risk of founding a law firm with no real budget, borrowed furniture, and took a risk because they believed in what they were doing and they believed that in the end, serving the community was really the most important thing to do.
And you really have done that. You really have, because, and you've done a great job of getting your name out. When people call me, they don't know what I charge. It's not on my website. So we have enough of a conversation that at some point I determine with certain people, even I am over budget for them, and I don't charge as much as attorneys, as a mediator and a legal document assistant. And so I therefore do refer out your services, and so happy that there's an option to do this.
Well, thank you for doing that. We're happy that we continue to be able to provide services for people who need it.
And they do, and so many do.
Right.
So many
do. And so many more, especially as a result of the financial crisis that we're experiencing.
And it's not going to end.
Right.
For a little bit. It will end, but it won't end for a little bit. Okay, so then how do you determine who you accept as clients?
So applicants for service submit an intake form where we ask questions about their income, their assets, their dependents in the home, and then what they want to talk to us about, what it is that they need help with. And we assess that information and then determine whether they fall within our income guidelines and whether we offer the types of services that they need help with.
What are the income guidelines?
So we can go up to 400% of poverty, which means that we're able to help people that other legal services organizations would turn away because their income or assets are too high. But these are also people who cannot afford private attorneys or even services like yours.
Yes.
And so they get lost and find themselves unable to resolve the problems that they're experiencing. So because of our income levels, we can assist them with sliding scale services.
So I know the level of poverty changes, and when I'm doing immigration divorces, I have to, the sponsor pays 125% over the poverty line for X number of years for spousal support. But, and I don't mean to challenge you mathematically right now, but do you know about what 400% over the poverty level is now, or has that changed because of the virus?
Well, it changes every year a bit, so it goes up a bit.
I don't know.
And I'm actually forgetting the number.
12,000, does that ring a bell? 12,000 being
that's for one, right, the baseline gross income for one person.
Okay. Now, here's a little bit of a conundrum, and I get these calls as well, as I'm sure you do. So what if there is income in the household, but it's exclusively made by the other spouse, yet the spouse calling you has no assets to the money and needs legal advice and a lawyer to represent them? Will you take this spouse as a client?
Yes. So, and I'll give you an example of somebody who sought our services about a week ago in a terrible emergency. A married woman whose husband cleaned out the bank account, closed the credit cards, and left with the children. And she had all of $300 to her name and no place to turn, and contacted us for help. So these, on paper, they may look like they have income and assets, but in reality, they have no access to those resources. And those are people we can certainly talk to.
And lest anybody listening think this is a unique situation, well, maybe taking the children, the husband taking the children and closing the bank account may be slightly unique. But there are enough cases where it's kind of like the term financial abuse
yes.
was used, that you're controlling, one spouse is controlling the other spouse by not letting them have access to money. And when you don't have access to money, you don't have access to life, right?
Right. So there are people who work but are required to turn their paycheck over.
Oh, I didn't even think about that example.
So their spouse, they are not allowed to use credit cards, or if they are, they have to submit the receipts to prove that the expenditure was what they were allowed to use the credit card for. So they're as you're right, financial abuses, financial abuse and financial control are very real things.
Yes, yes. And I know you're not an immigration specialist, nor am I, but I just did a little bit of a series on immigration. And my question is, if somebody comes to your office and is concerned that they are slightly below this 2-year threshold for what immigration and the government would like you to be married for length of time before a divorce is finalized, do you call in other, like an immigration attorney to help you? Do you have outreach like that?
Well, as with all lawyers, we're obligated to issue spot and advise clients that there may be issues and concerns beyond the family law. So a family law filing may have a positive or a negative impact on a variety of other legal issues. And so we do advise people about those and then make sure that they get proper referrals so that they can get the advice that they need. Make sure that if they are working with other attorneys on other legal issues, that we encourage and advise them to share information with the other lawyers so that people are not working at cross purposes and they can achieve the relief that they're looking for and they need.
That's really good, because we're in such a multicultural environment here that I'm assuming it comes up at your office like it comes up here every now and then. So, okay, back to the money. Do you charge hourly or a flat fee or both?
So we charge a fee based on what work the client needs and what we're able to provide. And so we reach an agreement with the client based on that. We work, so that's the sliding scale aspect, but also limited scope, which means that we step in and provide the services that the client most needs, where we are the best fit, and that is the most affordable for the client.
Is the service ever free?
Yes, we do. We are able to provide free services for certain clients.
There are these things called disclosure forms that those listening know if they're already in the middle of filing. But if you haven't filed yet, part of the process, and it's where the heart of the settlement comes from, there are what we call disclosure forms. So what, Anna, do you do if you find out that possibly the disclosure forms showed that there were some financial resources when you originally thought there weren't? Do you amend how you charge?
Well, we certainly have that conversation with the client. If the client is able to afford more, we may assess a higher fee for ongoing services. The client is obviously free to accept that or choose to receive services someplace else, and that's fine. So that's a conversation that we always have before we initiate services.
The reason why I ask this is because I know that there's so much fear wrapped up in getting divorced, and especially if somebody comes to you, there's extra fear. When people are in fear mode, they either innocently forget to say something or they purposely hold back because they so desperately need help. So I didn't mean to bring this up as a condemnation of people, but just to show the listening public and then get your response that fear does take over. And when you're calmer, you're able to address the issues of your divorce a little clearer.
Well, and I think, Judy, the biggest concern for us in that circumstance isn't necessarily whether the client was honest with us about their income and assets, although that is important, and we certainly would have concerns if somebody was dishonest, but we would certainly have a conversation with the client about the importance of being honest in the pleadings that you file with the court, because you are signing those under penalty of perjury. And while somebody may believe that they're gaining a short-term advantage, in the end, those things tend to come out, and our credibility with the court is really the most valuable thing that we have. And so we work hard to educate our clients about the fact that it's very important to be truthful in those disclosure forms. And that's part of the conversation that you have with the lawyer. That's one of the reasons why it's a confidential relationship. You have to be able to talk about those things, be open. Be open about your fears and your concerns, because it's the lawyer's office that is the right place to have that conversation and not have those things come out in a courtroom when a judge is questioning why this pleading doesn't match this one and why is there a discrepancy.
Yes, thank you, because that fear really gets in the way a lot of times, and I'm so happy to hear you talk about that. Anna, who comprises the work staff, the entire work staff at Levitt Quinn?
So we have a wonderful team of lawyers, some of whom have been practicing for many years, and some are just starting out their careers, and they provide, we have mainly female staff, although we do have our newest attorney is a male, a recent graduate of a Southwestern Law School.
Hopefully in touch with his feminine side.
Yes.
Because he better be.
And they reflect pretty closely the main demographic of our clients. The majority of the clients who come to access our services are Latina, and so most of our staff is as well. And we also, many of us are bilingual, Spanish, English, which is very important for access.
Anna, and I'm so sorry if I missed this at the beginning, but do you exclusively work with female clients or both?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So that's good to know, both male and female. But strangely enough, I can't think of a male with whom I gave your name and number out to. It's female.
No, we have male clients who seek all sorts of relief and We're happy to serve them in a variety of capacities.
Okay. So men listening to this, please know that
Absolutely.
You can avail yourself of Levitt Quinn services.
Absolutely.
No, nice that I have that clarity too. So here's another huge question that comes up when I'm ready to start referring out. Do the attorneys with your company go to court with
yes,
the client?
They do. They make appearances in the courthouses throughout the LA Superior Court system.
I wonder why that is a question. There are other services that are sliding scale or maybe culturally based or religiously based. And I just think it's a confusion that you do have attorneys that go to court, and I'm absolutely glad to hear it. Now, I guess, you're here as an expert for your own law firm, but do attorneys in other free services go to court, or is that why people are asking me this question? Do I actually get representation in court? Are you a little different, maybe?
We are a little different. There are services, other organizations who do not go to court, who do one-on-one services, but they don't go to court. And there are others who go to court, but on only certain types of matters. And our representation is a little wider.
So do your attorneys actually go to trial if there has to be a trial?
Yes.
Wow. That's huge. That's huge. And that's so good to know. There is, as I was reading through your website, and I suggest everybody please do this, you have something called the Veterans Project, and I thought it was important to bring this up. What is it?
So since 2015, Levitt Quinn has provided free and sliding scale services for veterans. It mainly started as a focus to address the needs of homeless and at-risk of homelessness veterans around issues of child support owed to the government, trying to finish divorces, things like that. But over time, it's evolved, and we also help veterans with their custody and visitation issues, establishing parentage, and other really critical problems that they need help with.
Is that a little harder with veterans, do you think? The co-parenting schedule? And
well, there's a variety of factors that complicate those issues for them, including issues around PTSD, either treated or untreated, mental health issues. And our supervising attorney, who was the fellow who started the project, she started the project as a Equal Justice Corps AmeriCorps legal fellow and stayed with the organization, which is wonderful. So she really spends time in that community, understands those issues and needs, and is able to approach it and have conversations with that background of understanding what their particular needs and sort of push-pull factors are for them, which I think is very important.
I think it's extremely important. And the more and more we engage in nonstop wars, the more and more we have service people coming back that have PTSD and other complications because of how that changes you and maybe how the environment or the ammunition, whatever you're using, affects you physically and mentally and emotionally too. So happy to hear that you specialize in that area.
Yes.
That's great. Also, one of the areas closest to me, mediation, since I'm a mediator, does Levitt Quinn offer mediation?
So we do not offer mediation in-house, but we certainly make referrals when we specifically ask at the very beginning of the relationship, are you open to using mediation as a resource to resolve the problems that you want to talk to us about? And that's something that we want to make sure that we address and identify early on. And although we don't do mediation in-house, we refer, but we've also been an active participant in the Los Angeles County Bar Association's Daily Settlement Officer Program. So Levitt Quinn has been holding down the fort at the Compton Courthouse since 2015, helping litigants who really do want to resolve their issues and come to an agreement instead of having to go to trial. And so we're there to help ease those differences and help them get the paperwork prepared so they can present it to the court and go on their way.
Excellent. And so when you're referring out mediation services, do you do it paralleling the sliding scale fee that you have the client on with mediation services that also may have a sliding scale fee?
We let them know what the options are out there and then give them the opportunity to choose whatever seems best for
whatever
them.
Whatever works for them. Okay, very good, very good. Now, because I did mention a little bit earlier that there are other agencies out there that provide legal support, anywhere from just consultation to get your feet wet and understand the legal lay of the land, to actually getting involved on a day-to-day basis and helping. And the two big firms that I knew of from my work in the family law community is Levitt Quinn and Harriet Buhai. And those are the two that I refer because those are, you're at every conference I'm at, and I started building familiarity with you, and I have attorney colleagues that work at both of these firms. So you may do much of the same thing, but you may have a nuance of difference.
Yes.
Can you clarify that for us?
Sure. We both provide family law services to poor people. I think that Buhai's mission focuses on survivors of domestic violence, and that's really their core reason for existence. Whereas we, although provide services for domestic violence survivors, also provide other family law services as well. So we do not specialize or focus on domestic violence assistance. And we also do representation in court. So our attorneys go to court regularly.
And I'm assuming they don't.
Or that's
limited,
not their model.
Maybe limited.
Very, very limited in emergency circumstances. That's not their model.
Okay, excellent, excellent. It's so helpful because I've not had to use either services myself, and I know I got confused, and I just said, just call both of them,
right?
And you'll figure it out.
And I think what's important to know is that we also are a community of providers, and we know each other's services. We, our staffs, educate each other on a regular basis about what are we working on? What are we prioritizing so that we can refer to each other? And we do on a regular basis to make sure that people are landing in the place that best fits them for what it is that they need to resolve.
Excellent. Now, when people call you, what's the process before they get to talk with somebody?
The process, well, first we need to know whether we have a conflict or not. We need to know whether we can speak with them. So we always ask people, the best thing to do is to go to our website at levittquinn.org, the services tab, and which explains what the services are and how to access them. We ask them to fill out an intake sheet. You can email that into us or fax it. And from there, we have information that we can use to determine whether we can speak with the person and whether what the person wants to talk to us about is something that we can do. We follow up by phone, have a very brief conversation, and then determine what the appropriate next step is.
On a normal day, without the virus keeping everybody at home, what do you speculate is the response time between receiving an application and returning a phone call?
We shoot for no more than a couple of days.
Okay, that's good. If you see any domestic violence coming through, do you tend to jump on that and prioritize that by any chance?
We want to make sure that we follow up on each intake as quickly as we can for a variety of reasons. First, because people don't always tell us everything that's going on when they say what they want to talk to us about. somebody may not realize that something is an emergency when it actually is. Somebody may think something is an emergency when it is not. So it's just important for us to make sure that we follow up on everything as timely as we possibly can.
Excellent. Now, lastly, where is your office?
We are in Echo Park. We're less than a mile from the Mosque Courthouse in downtown Los Angeles.
The busiest family law courthouse in the entire nation, everybody.
Yes, the largest trial court system in the nation. That is true. But we also have partners, social service organizations, bar associations. So we have community-based clinics in other parts of the county. We do video conference intake. Now, of course, that's how we communicate with everyone. So right now, Levitt Quinn is working virtually. So we're not physically in our office, but all of our attorneys are working remotely. Calls come in and are answered. Intakes come in through email and fax. We're able to address and touch all of them pretty quickly. Our attorneys are still doing consultations. They're still doing paperwork. They're still getting ready for the hearings that, the court is
scheduling, which, by the way, are in August now. The new word I got yesterday was, because a client of mine is scheduled for an August 3rd hearing. So
we're seeing July and
are
August.
You?
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of our attorneys has a hearing. A domestic violence restraining order hearing, you know, coming up this week.
And that is immediate. Yeah, there are some things that are absolutely immediate that could be a little life-threatening or life-damaging one way or the other.
Yes.
So because we're in the virtual stage of doing business now, people don't actually need to have a Zoom. You can still conduct business on the phone without a video image, correct?
Yes. Whatever works best for the client is what we'll do.
Okay. Excellent. Anna, is there anything I haven't asked you that sparked your thinking as we were talking before I ask you for how people can get in touch with you? Did I cover everything?
You did, Judy. You know, I think the reason for our existence, what keeps us going every day, is just making sure that families get the help they need when they need it. You know, the stories that we hear really touch our hearts and I think ground us in why we do what we do. You know, from the intellectually disabled young dad who is facing having his baby taken away from him and put up for adoption because somebody's made a decision that he can't parent, to the woman who called us because everything that she had has been taken from her and doesn't know where to turn, to the loving family members who are facing raising somebody else's child and want to make that a permanent relationship to make sure that child is protected and have no idea or resources about how to do an adoption. It's about preserving families and stabilizing, helping families to reassemble, and really just focusing on helping people get on with that next part of their lives in the most appropriate and safest manner. That's really why we exist.
I think that's a gift. I mean, that is a huge gift to humanity. And I really do appreciate what you do. And if I may, and I'm going to say this in the most positive way possible, how unlawyer-like. You know, this is a conversation we have in the family law community. Lawyers aren't therapists. Mediators aren't therapists, but people walk in our offices with their bag of emotions that they can't disassociate from. And part of what I think we have to do, and I'm so happy to hear you initiated, is we just have to let them talk. We have to, because they talking about it frees up the heart and the head. And when you name something, you divest yourself of it a little bit. And now it's out there and it's objective. And now we can wrap our heads and hands around it differently, right?
Yes.
And so you're not a therapist, but I kind of say therapist risings or just touchy-feely. I mean, you just have to be that person. It can't be all business, can it?
Well, we see it as part of our business. A big part of what we do is to calibrate expectations. When we're giving legal advice, we're talking about rights and responsibilities so that when people leave us, we hope that not only have we helped them resolve their legal problems, but they're better educated about what is appropriate, what they can reasonably expect. You can't focus on work. You can't focus on school. You can't focus on being a productive member of your community if you're in crisis, if you don't understand, again, what your rights and responsibilities are, if you're confused, if you're angry, if you're hurt. So part of our job is not only to do paperwork and strategize and argue in a court, but it's also to help prepare people for life after us.
That's lovely. It's well said. Thank you so much for that. So, Anna, how can people get in touch with you?
The best way to access our services is to visit our website at www.levittquinn.org.
Spell it, please.
LevittQuinn, all one word, .org, the services tab. And there you will see and read how to access our services, what are the sorts of documents that you should begin to gather as you wait to hear from us. Intakes can be downloaded and filled out and sent to us at either intake@levittquinn.org or via fax, which also gets to us via email through the magic of technology. And staff will follow up as quickly as we can and have a conversation about what the right next step is.
This has been so delightful, so informative, and I feel that I've advanced myself in being able to help people just by knowing more about you and the resource Levitt Quinn provides. So thank you so much for taking your time. I know you're a hugely busy person, and I really appreciate this. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Judy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the wonderful work that Levitt Quinn does.
And you do. You have been listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host. You may reach me through my website, divorceresourceinc.com, divorceresourceinc.com. I work in Southern California as a mediator and document preparation company. And if you have an idea for a topic for the podcast, please email me at Judy, J-U-D-Y, at constructiveuncoupling.com. Judy at constructiveuncoupling.com. I thank you so very much for joining us, and I look forward to our next episode. Take care.